Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Deeper. It is awesome to be here. We've got the full squad here. We've got Pastor Tim Hallwarda and Pastor Dan Kinnis. Guys, it's great to have both of you here. We don't get to do this together as much as I'd like, so I'm so happy
to have you all here. It's been a while, it feels like.
Yeah, it has. We were saying right before we got started, this is probably the most well-dressed we've ever been. And by we, I mean Dan and Tim. They're all looking super sharp and super dapper, and I'm sitting here in my graphic tee. there's a reason that that I'm asking them questions and not them asking me questions. And you can see that today.
We'll see if the wisdom flows from us just, you know, much more easily since we're dressed up.
You know? There you go.
If there's any correlation.
We're in our theological threads.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, then, you know, I'll start you off with a really big, heavy-hitting, heavily theological question here.
Lay it on me.
Winter sucks. How do you keep yourselves mentally healthy in winter? It's been really gray. It's been really gross. Mm-hmm. It's that awkward, my wife and I call it the stick season, where there's not really winter, but it's not spring yet. It's just sticks everywhere. So how
I
do you guys...
I wish it would actually be winter. It's kind of springy right now in the middle of January.
Yeah.
If it's going to snow, let's let it snow. That's what I think.
That's
but
my thought.
Dan and I were just talking about it. Like, one of the things we both do is get on the treadmill and try to do that. I've tried to do it three times a week. I haven't been very successful lately. Yeah. But that helps me a lot, keep my head clear.
That's a good one. That physical activity, that'll get you. Like, my wife and I try that as much as we can. We just go on a walk around the block, and man, we notice a difference on the days when we do that.
Yeah, it really does make a difference. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but it's like your diet, your exercise, and your sleep. It really does. Those three things. Got to get good sleep. You got to eat decently well and exercise.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy how much a difference it makes. And now that we've got that heavy... theological.
Is that all there is to it?
That's all there is to it. I was just curious. I'm just curious.
Solved.
Listen, we're done with the podcast.
We haven't even
it.
Explored that yet. Like, I thought we were going to get a church membership trip to Arizona today.
I mean, listen, if we're able to justify a church trip to like the Bahamas or something in the sake of our mental health for the Deeper podcast, I'm in favor of that. You won't see me pushing against that.
Is that in our budget? We don't have a budget. So.
Well, right.
Somebody did add a fourth P to your last sermon's
that's right.
Alliterations, that's besides right. Prayer and presence and...
Tim's testing himself here. Peace.
Peace. Somebody added prescriptions.
Yeah, we added several a couple weeks ago on the podcast, too, but prescription drugs.
Oh, you did? I didn't listen to that, obviously.
Was one of them, but there was even fifth. I don't know, we got into psychologists, and there's lots of P's, as we found, that could be added in, so...
Yeah, that's good. Well, if any of y'all listening are anything like me, like us, take care of yourselves this winter. Winter can be hard. And so you're not the only ones dealing with that. Tim, you gave us, to continue on with the P theme, a phenomenal sermon on Sunday. I actually really, really appreciate it a lot. There's a lot I'd love to talk more about. But, just kind of going into the Hall of Faith and what it means to be people on a journey. Can you just refresh our memories as to the content and then to... why you chose this topic?
Well, I think the content is just, it's the metaphor that the writer gives in the Hall of Faith regarding Abraham, kind of frames it largely around his pilgrimage, which is, it's how God set it up. He called him out to something else. And I think that is a great picture of the life of faith. We're always moving somewhere. It's not a cyclical belief like some of the major religions have. Like reincarnation, and then things just keep going and going. But ours is a linear belief, like God created, and it's going somewhere. There's a consummation, and our lives are a piece of that. And so, which to me is just, it's very meaningful, because that means life is, it's going somewhere. It has purpose, has meaning. There's a plan. God is in on it. And so that gives me a whole lot to go with, besides just like scattershot, find it out. So, and then obviously, I think I said it on Sunday, just the fact that being a missionary and actually leaving and going has embedded that in us. And I've talked to a lot of third culture kids for whom, they got to grapple with that. You're going to always be on the move in a sense. You'll never, because your heart's in at least two places.
Right.
So you're never fully home. Mm-hmm. And so the sense of I'm looking for home is very much a felt reality.
Absolutely. And if any of you are listening and would like to hear more about that, we actually did a great discussion with Michelle Phoenix on the Amplify podcast about a year and a half ago. So go give that a look out if you're curious hearing more about that. I thought, Tim, one of the interesting things that you brought up was that death shows up, the concept of death shows up 9 times, I think, in the Hall of Faith.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole lot more than I was expecting, you know, mm-hmm. when you just think about it. I just thought that was really interesting. Like, that is a important factor that we mm-hmm. need to consider here is that, you know, as we're trying to live these faith-filled lives, again, often it does not come. The fruition of that doesn't show up until after we've died. And I just thought mm-hmm. that was a really interesting point.
Like, yeah. And for me, too, that's one of the reasons I've always been attracted to this is it's there's a tension there. I don't want to, and I don't think the writer encourages us to be morbid about being preoccupied with death as much mm-hmm. as death is framed in the larger context of life, mm-hmm. right? So that the implication is there's more to come. That death mm-hmm. is not the end. God's promises span generations. They mm-hmm. span our lifetime and beyond. And so, to me, it's a hopeful thing. Death is mentioned, and that's a reality. Mm-hmm. But it's not the end.
Yeah.
Right?
And when we're living these lives, hopefully, of faith, we know that we're playing the long game here. Mm-hmm. This isn't about the short-term gains. This isn't about short-term faith. This is about mm-hmm. long-term faith, which is, in a way, freeing, in a way, intimidating. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was just a really interesting. I really appreciated that additional perspective of that. We just today we celebrated the life of Jim Orange and mm-hmm. his faith-filled life and how you know so much testimony today was shared about his faith and his love for Jesus and his love for the Lord and how you know he's now on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're celebrating that and we're. Just, you know, I was freshly reminded of that today, just that, mm-hmm. especially in light of this topic. Like, we're all on this journey, and, mm-hmm. you know, Jim, like so many others before him, is now on this exciting new step, and that's something that mm-hmm. we can actually be excited about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, though, as we look at what it means to live lives of faith throughout long term. We all really, you know, we aspire to have these testimonies, like, you know, like Jim's testimony, like all these other, you know, we want to be known like mm-hmm. these folks in the Hall of Faith for our, you know, our faith, our discipleship, the way we live like the apostles. But I've noticed a lot of our conversation as Christians now is less focused on faith and a lot more leaning into fear. Whether that's fear of transition, fear of change. And we've obviously, with our anxiety piece, we're talking mm-hmm. a lot about mm-hmm. that. But there's just so much discussion about, like, the rise of the nuns in America and how, you know, so many people are leaving the church and the decline of mm-hmm. Christian influence in the public sphere. And it all feels very fearful to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, how do we trust God and live by faith well when all the ways we're used to seeing him move in our public spaces starts to change?
Mm-hmm.
What it means to be a faithful Christian now looks different than it did 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. How do we adapt to the change of culture with an unchanging God?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 80 million ways you could go with that, so you know.
Yeah, I think, so how do you live today? Well, I think, my first basic answer would be, I think that's exactly the question that Hebrews is answering. Mm-hmm. It's not just telling us about, giving us information about what's to come, as much as to give us a framework, because these believers who were first getting this letter were in a very difficult time. They were being persecuted. They were in a minority. They didn't see the nation of Israel come in large numbers to faith in Jesus. The leadership continued to reject him as Messiah. And so I think it was a lot of disillusionment, too, in the part mm-hmm. of the believers there. And so the letter's written, I think, to give us a framework of, look, both the patriarchs in the past that you have known and all these other heroes of faith, they also were going through things like this. And so the encouragement is then, therefore, live boldly, mm-hmm. right, in the faith that God is bigger than your generation's problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, just as you look back on the scriptures, there's often an analogy in some other biblical story for just about every scenario we face today,
mm-hmm.
right? You mentioned the rise of the nuns, the diminishment of the church in North America, and you think of Elijah, you know, I'm the only one left. And the Lord says, no, I've reserved 7,000, the perfect number.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my people who haven't bowed mm-hmm. to Baal. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, like Elijah, we struggle. We see that and we get discouraged and we take off.
Yeah, so I guess then a question with that is, how do we know... I guess the answer is, you know, through discernment, through prayer. But, like, mm-hmm. how do we know when we're supposed to speak out boldly, like Jesus over, you know, flipping the tables in the temple, or when we're supposed to just listen and trust that God's going to do something. How do we discern when living by faith requires us to take action or requires us to trust that God will take action?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to weigh in on that, Dan. My first thought would just be living boldly doesn't necessarily mean speaking boldly, right? It could mean a very quiet witness of confidence in the face of challenges, that we boldly still take risks. Like Jeremiah buys a field when they're about to be conquered because, you know, someday there's going to be trading here again. I'm going to, that's my faith. That's a bold act, right? Even though it's not preaching or anything at that point. Anyway.
You know, it was in my head, the phrase, and you'll know who wrote it, but a long obedience in the same direction. I think that applies to this line of questions you've had, just that. And one piece being the direction piece was really sticking out to me because your question, Austin, gets at sometimes the things that we're obeying toward are not always God himself. They might be good things that have been derivatives of our faith, but they become our culture or our traditions. And if that's where our obedience is directed, when we lose some of that tradition, that culture, we kind of freak out, right? We start really getting upset and nervous and fearful. So maintaining that we're listening to God, and he does not change, right? He's still there on the throne. He has been all this time. Things change around in the world, but not him. And so I think that, too, goes into the second part of your question, which is how do I know kind of the wisdom of what way to act when? And there's no, of course, one size fits all, but we all need to be pressing in that obedience in the direction of the Lord. And as we're doing that and listening to him and seeking his will, I believe it becomes more clear what I need to do in this situation or that situation, whether it is a speech act or whether it's an act, or maybe it's just a time to be silent and, you know, trust the Lord in this whatever situation. So I don't know, that phrase came to mind, that long obedience in the same direction. You see that with Abraham, and you brought that out well. All these years, it's, you read Genesis, and it's like, oh, he promised, you know, a descendant in Isaac, and then Isaac was born. Well, as you said, there's years, decades in between those two things, and that's a long obedience and not always easy. So, yeah.
There's a line from a Rich Mullins song, the late Rich Mullins, about stories like this make a boy grow bold, stories like this make a man walk straight. And I think these stories do that for us. Like you look at Abraham and you look at Elijah, you look at all these people, and it helps us to be strengthened in some mysterious way, in a sense. You're like, yeah, my life's like his. Look what he went through and look what God did. You know? And I just think these stories are so powerful that way.
And so as we look at stories, I think, you know, one of the things that I've, every time I've thought of the Hall of Faith, it didn't start out as an intentional practice, but it's become a bit more of an intentional practice lately. But asking myself, what would I want my entry in the Hall of Faith to look like?
I like that.
You know, by faith, Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a great question.
It's a great question because I think that that's so telling of where our priorities are, of what we want our legacy to be. And so first off, I just encourage anyone to do that, you know, take a few minutes, think, you know, what do you want your Hall of Faith entry to look like? And, you know, in the, for the interest of vulnerability in the conversation, I, you know, just wrote up one at the moment. I would, at the moment, I think it'd be great if I could have, you know, my by faith Austin statement to be something along the lines of, by faith Austin lived the way Jesus commanded him in Matthew 5 with humility and dignity, leading those around him towards Christ's love. And there's a lot of good stuff in that. But what I think is interesting is it also can highlight some of my weaknesses and challenges and temptations. So, for example, looking at the wanting to lead, you know, that's a temptation towards pride and towards power. And something that I know I need to keep an eye on because I've spent time learning that. God's been working on me through that through the years, and I'm going to continue to grow. And the things I want to be known for will change. But I, so, you know, that's, for me, I guess, one of the things that I would love. And I have, my question is, I don't know, what do you guys think of this practice? What advice do you have for people who are trying to evaluate what they want their Hall of Faith entry to be? And how do you go about, if you notice there's a problem or there's a there's an area where you could be weak, how do you go about strengthening that? And you can feel free to rip me to shreds if you would like, as the example, because I gave it as an example.
Put your heart out there. Thank you.
It's so interesting. One thing to note is that when you go through that list, there's nobody who's perfect in it in Hebrews 11, right? So that comes with the territory. It's a story of faith, not sight. And so it is this kind of wrestling with the Lord. And we've even noted, you go through that list, and sometimes you say you're surprised that so-and-so's in there. Jephthah, even Samson, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, some are obvious. We say, oh, Abraham, of course, but go through Genesis. You know, he had his own wrestlings and sometimes got out ahead of the Lord. And so, you know, I think that is part of it, just that consistency in our faith. That, as I think about it personally, you know, I just want to be one who trusted in the Lord, right? Even when it seemed maybe it was challenging to do in different situations. And some of that we can't know until things happen, right? So much of this is looking back and saying, oh, look what Abraham, the Lord asked him to sacrifice Isaac, or he called him out of his land, or, you know, this happened with this person. And so it's hard to know, but I know for me, just that, you know, keep trusting in the Lord. And like you said, there's all kinds of output of that, whether it's trusting to love others as I love myself and to not be worried about myself so much. That's an output of it, as you kind of named in your own write up there. And so I don't know, but that's a helpful reminder for me that the Hall of Faith isn't filled with perfect people.
Amen.
Those perfected by Christ. Right. You know, he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That's just a few verses after. It's a good reminder. So,
yeah, even I was reading in Romans 4 when Paul's lifting up Abraham as the father of faith, and then it says, and look what Abraham, our father, discovered in this matter, which that just word discovered is like he was learning too, right? He did not have it down. And I think it's at the end of his life that a lot of these things came together. There's also a line in one of the songs we sang today in Jim's funeral. It says, when we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all that you, God, have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and he is the faithful one. And I think really, you know, it's the Lord's faithfulness that shines through this chapter more than us. We blow it. We're going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
We're going to fail. I mean, our faith will fail. But he's not going to fail us.
And I think that's such a great element to focus on with this, because a lot of the times, and even, you know, myself, as I was writing up these questions, thinking about it, it's like, yeah, I was thinking about all the things these people did, and it was, you know, and they were very faithful, but it was these things these people did. And it's like, no, that's not what this is about. This isn't about the people. This is about God. And that's a good perspective to keep. So this week was kind of a little bit of a break. We were doing our anxiety series. Is that what we're continuing next week? Or
yes. Yep. Okay. So we'll be finishing that this coming Sunday, our third part of the three-part series. And Tim's kind of doing a three-part series as a finale.
Within a series.
Yeah. So, and which is, so we'll kind of go back and forth a little bit the next couple of weeks. But yeah, we'll be back in Philippians 4 this week. This kind of, we talked about some things that cause us anxiety, and there's that reality. We talked about how God helps us in the midst of that, and those helps, the three P's we mentioned. And then this week will be, how do we respond? Knowing we deal with anxiety, knowing God is there to help us, how do we respond? Maybe what are some patterns or rhythms? So this week, the three things will start with S.
Nice.
And we'll flow out of the passage, and we'll talk about it more next week. But yeah, there's some good reminders personally, and we've even talked about it a little bit already. But so yeah, that'll be the three part, and then the next week, Tim will be back up there doing kind of a second part finale, I think, in some of the Gospels.
Luke 13, I think it is.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for coming on today. Again, always appreciate getting to pick both your brains. And I hope everyone listening that you enjoy this as well, that you're learning. Feel free to, again, you know, if you ever have questions yourself, feel free to send them in to acelater@friendshipcrc.org. And we'd love to, you know, ask any of your questions on your behalf. So yeah, blessings on you all. Go in peace, and we will see you next week.